To him, let's say his name. He is worthy of everything. It's in him that we live, we move, we breathe, we have our being. It's all in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know if he's been good to anybody, but I know he's been good to me. He's been good. He's been faithful. He's been kind. He's been forgiving. He has just been everything that I have needed him to be when I needed him to be it. I'm so thankful that he's that kind of God, aren't you? I wonder if you would one more time. I just feel like we could lift up our hands and magnify him all over this place. Jesus, we magnify your name. We magnify your name, Jesus. God, whenever life hasn't been good to us, you have. Whenever life hasn't been kind to us, you have. Whenever we feel directionless, we can look to you and we know that everything is going to be okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is so good. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is still good. And you may be seated. He is still good. Well, it is such an honor to be with each and every one of you tonight. I give honor to you for braving the cold weather to come out to church tonight. I know that it's not easy to do that, and I honor you for doing that. I will be back in New York on next week for a week, and my wife has already let me know that I have lost the Husband of the Year award. She is at home with our three kids. We have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old. She had to shovel the snow out of the way of the driveway so they could leave and go to school. And so she is absolutely loving me right now. You know, I learned real quick that I'm originally from Lake Charles, Louisiana. So I'm a Louisiana boy living in the Northeast. And I learned real quick that I was back in the South yesterday morning. At about 9 o'clock, I was like, well, I'm going to go find a coffee shop. I'm going to set up in the back corner, stay there a couple of hours, and I'm going to work from there. Well, I pulled into Starbucks and there was a sign on the door that said closed for cold weather. I was like, it's 20 degrees. What's the problem? So I find another coffee shop and I go there and it said closed for cold weather. And this is when I remembered I was in the South. I looked off in the distance. I saw a golden glow and there were cars in a parking lot. And I thought, well, there's cars somewhere up there. There's something open. So I drive up to where there were vehicles. And sure enough, if you can't count on Starbucks, you can always count on the Waffle House. I was like, yep, I'm back. But it is such an honor to be here with you tonight. I give honor to your pastor. Pastor Roberts, thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it. This church has made a massive impact already, whether you realize it or not, on New York, because you have branded us. Brother Anthony Roberts, wherever he is at, created all of our logos for both churches that we pastor. Whenever you need a professional, you find the best, and we did. And so there are stickers with his design on it all over New York City. And so thank you so very much. You guys have impacted us. I love the kingdom of God. I love the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ, I just view it as this beautiful mosaic with all kinds. It's like a great puzzle. It's a lot of different pieces, but whenever it comes together, it definitely makes a difference in the world. And so I'd like to introduce you tonight to my family. They are not here, obviously. This is them. So that is my wife. Her name is Ashley. She is she's the leader of the tribe. And then Braden, my oldest, followed by my daughter, Claire. I am Donnie, and then our youngest is Elliot, who has no ability to look at a camera. He is truly the youngest. We are the ABC Club. If you tracked what I just did there, Ashley, Braden, Claire, Donnie, Elliot, the dog's name is Frankie. A, B, C, D, E, F. I wanted to name him Finished, but my kids vetoed me. I feel like I am losing votes every other day. But we are missionaries to the great country of New York. 8 million people live there from 200 different countries. That's why I call it a country, because no one can truly claim it. There are 700 languages that are spoken daily in New York City. If you could wrap your mind around 8 million people in New York City, let me say it like this. I did a little research, and the state of Alabama has 5 million people. So I'm not even going to tell you that there's 20 million people that live in the Metroplex. It is a very, very populated area and a very small area. But over the past 7 years, my family and I have lived in New York, and God has truly poured out his spirit upon all flesh. And in the last 7 years, we have baptized at least one person from 20 different countries of the world. There is a global revival in New York City. I get choked up whenever I think about it, because it's easy for me to throw a statistic out and say one person from 20 countries. But whenever I was writing that statistic and I was thinking it through, to me, it wasn't a number, but it was a name. It was a name of an individual, and it was a name of somebody from another country. It was people like a girl named Tremaine. Tremaine was from South Africa. She came to the United States as a nanny. And she was a nanny for 2 years, came to our church, received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and then her visa expired, so she had to go back to South Africa. We looked for her a place in the area she was living, couldn't find her anything. So with the use of technology, we set up a preaching point in her home. And so now we have a spot where her and her neighbors can gather, and they are a part of our church, and they show up on Zooms, and they show up on things. Can I tell you, there is a global revival in our world right now. I still believe that if there's a will, there's a way. And I think that God wants to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And whenever we stop trying to control what it looks like and we just let God be God, anything is possible. But as I mentioned, it is an honor to be with you. My name is Donnie. I'm pastor in New York. And the question I'm asked often is, how in the world, or why in the world, would you move your family from the safety of Lake Charles, Louisiana, to New York City? And the only way I can truly answer that is within the story of something that happened in 1912. There was a boat that was built. They spared no expense for this boat. It had first class everything. First class chandeliers. First class amenities. Everything about this boat was beautiful and unsinkable. But right before it took its one and only voyage, there was a decision made that the lifeboats on this major boat obstructed the views of the first class passengers. So they cut the lifeboats in half. Then they decided that the lifeboats didn't look good. So they cut it in half again. They used expenses on things like chandeliers and food and a first class band that would play through the night, but they cut the lifeboats. That massive ship called the Titanic would hit an iceberg and it would crash into the night and it would sink. And souls would be lost into their icy eternity, all because there wasn't enough lifeboats. Because the lifeboats were not pleasant to the eyes of the first class passengers. And whenever I look at New York City, all I see is a city that is sinking and there's not enough lifeboats. And so all we're trying to do is build lifeboats. And so in the past 7 years, we have started two churches, or we have relaunched one church and started another church in New York City, just trying to build a lifeboat. We believe that the local church is the lifeboat to the world. And as long as there is a church right here in Alabaster, Alabama, there is hope. This is the most beautiful thing this city has. This building is more beautiful than your awesome police station that we passed by. They must really like to give tickets. I thought, I drove by and I was like, I bet they give a lot of tickets around here. And y'all are nodding y'all's head, so it must be true. But this is the most beautiful thing in your city. This is a lifeboat for your city. And I congratulate you and I honor you. Just keep building this lifeboat. This lifeboat is going to be the greatest thing that this city has to offer. This lifeboat is going to be the greatest thing for your friends, for your neighbors, for the people you go to school with, for your coworkers. There is nothing more important for their lives than this right here. This is the most beautiful thing, and I honor you. But since we made the decision to move our family halfway across of America, there have been some God moments along the way, because I've got this really solid truth for you. Miracles always follow God-called faith. If you need a miracle in your life, I'm going to challenge you to take a step of faith tonight. Tonight, it is my goal. Tonight, it is my aim to infuse into your veins a little bit of faith, to make you believe that you can do what God has called you to do. I believe that there is a calling upon each and every individual in this room. And I believe that tonight you can answer that calling in a new way. I believe that God is going to show you something. It was my prayer coming before tonight, whenever I was in prayer for this service, I said, God, would you please open somebody's eyes that they would see themselves like you see them, as just not a member of the church, but as a world changer who can do something great for the kingdom of God. That is my prayer for you tonight. I pray that tonight you will have your own miracle story to tell. I'm thankful. Can I tell you, I'm so thankful for every story of the past. I'm thankful for every story that someone has told about what God has done, but that's not satisfying to me. I want to make sure that I've got my own story. I want to make sure that my family has its own story, story that I can tell. Let me tell you what God has done. All it takes is a step of faith. In September 11th, 2017, we had just moved to New York. And Dr. Irvin Baxter came to New York to do a prophecy event. My wife and I, who had only been living in the city for a little while, for a few months, decided to go. We go to this event. It's in Times Square. There's probably about 200 people there. They show up, and at this event, they have it. We're sitting in the back, not thinking anything about it. Well, they gathered about 30 to 40 contacts, and at the end of it, he walks up to me with all these contact cards, and he hands them off to me. I've never met the man in my life. I knew him from a distance, but I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. He goes, "You're a local pastor, right?" "Yes, sir. I am a local pastor." He hands me the cards and says, "Here you go." And I was like, awesome, what am I supposed to do with these? He would come back in February of 2018 and host a Holy Ghost crusade. And so I went and I joined him for that. And that morning at that Holy Ghost crusade right there in Times Square, we ended up baptizing around 20 people in the name of Jesus. I walked up to him after the service and I looked at him and I said, Brother Baxter, what's next? What are we doing next? And as he was leaving, we're standing in the lobby of that building. And he just stopped and he placed his hand on my shoulder. And he said three words that have sustained us the last 7 years. Three words that have guided our steps. Three words that I have needed many, many days. That year, we would take those contact cards and we would start a Bible study. We were having church every single Thursday night in a storefront right there on 4 West 37th Street in between Times Square and Grand Central Terminal. And, you know, I'm not musical at all, but it's kind of, I mean, we're Pentecostal, so we like to have music while we're at church. It would just be weird not to have it. Now, the people that were coming, they wouldn't know any different, but I thought it was important. So it's like, how do you introduce people to worship who aren't used to worshiping? So what I did was got my computer, downloaded a lot of YouTube videos of apostolic worship, made sure I got the YouTube premium, because the last thing you want whenever you're worshiping to a YouTube video is an ad to pop up. And in New York City, you never know what ads you're going to get. And so we got the YouTube premium and everything. And so I just told everybody, I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to watch this video, and I want you to respond however the crowd responds in the video. So if you see them raising their hands, you raise your hands. If you see them clapping, you clap. You just mimic them, and then we're going to call that worship. And then you're going to feel something you've never felt before. And whenever you feel that, that's going to be the Holy Ghost moving on you. And then you just respond. I'm going to give you permission to respond however you feel. Everybody got it? That's pretty good instructions, right? They're like, okay, whatever you say. And so we would show the video, and the Holy Ghost would move in and sweep in. And through a crazy course of events, a lot of other things began to happen. But there were three words that kept us for those 7 years, a 7-year journey. And I would like to, at this time, just pause a moment and share with you that 7-year journey. And I know that I'm way off of every note that I gave you, but just video number one.
New York City. Glamorous, isn't she? Did you realize that 1.8 million people call Manhattan home? 8 million people live in the city limits, and 20 million people in the Metroplex. She is fast and furious, the city that never sleeps, the light to many. Is our story.
I wonder if you would put your hands together with me and thank God for what he's doing in New York. But as we were leaving the building that day, a building you saw in that video, I said, what is next? And he simply responded three words to me, three words that changed everything. What are the three words that he spoke to me as he put his hand on my shoulder? He simply said this. He said, follow the cloud. And then he turns around and he walks out the building. I'm standing there going, what? What is he talking about? Follow the cloud. These three words, though, would become an anchor for my soul. It is a physical picture of this spiritual truth that's found in an ancient story in the book of Exodus. When God led the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land, he gave them a cloud to follow. One step at a time. In Exodus 13, it says, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a cloud, guiding them on the way. Can you imagine with me what that would look like? An entire nation following a cloud. The presence of God leading them from slavery into promise. Of all the ways that God could have led them, he chose a cloud. He said, you know, whenever you wake up in the morning, I want you to walk to the door of your tent, and I want you to lift your eyes to the heavens, and I want you to find this cloud, and if the cloud moves forward, I want you to move forward. If the cloud goes backwards, I want you to go backwards. If it goes to the left, go to the left. If it goes to the right, I want you to go to the right. Wherever the cloud moves, that's where you go. Your job is simple. Follow the cloud. He led them without revealing the entire picture for them, because he longed for them to simply live by faith. It's like, I'm not asking you to figure it out. I just want you to live by faith. I'm not asking you to have all the answers. I'm asking you to trust me. It was simple. Look to the sky, because that is where your help comes from. When I move, you move. When I stop, you stop. Keep your eyes on me. And if you can keep your eyes on me, then everything will be okay. You see, in the Exodus, the Israelites followed a cloud. And the gospels of Jesus heard him say the words, follow me. And in Galatians 5 and 25, we have our marching orders as the church of today. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Today, the cloud is not above us, but rather the cloud is within us. Whenever we are Spirit-filled, we open ourselves up to become Spirit-led. I don't always know what Jesus is doing in my life. I don't always know what God is doing for me. We aren't always sure of where he's going. We don't always understand it. But here's what I can be confident in. If he is leading me, everything is going to be okay. There has to be something inside of us that says, where you lead me, I will follow. I don't always understand what God's doing. I don't always understand every season of life. But what I do know is that if I'm going to follow the cloud, everything will be okay. If I follow the cloud, we can have revival. If I follow the cloud, I'll be able to stand on my convictions. If I follow the cloud, I can be sustained in any environment. If I follow the cloud, I'm going to have everything that I need. And anything is possible for me. I'm thankful that we have a God who said, I'm not going to leave you, but I'm going to guide you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send a comforter unto you, and it's going to be your guide and your helper. But here's the hard truth about following the cloud and being Spirit-led. When the Israelites followed this cloud, it led them into a wilderness. Whenever Jesus, the scripture says in Luke 4 and 1, I find this to be one of the most beautiful parallels of Christian living. In this scripture in Luke 4 and 1, it says, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody full of the Holy Ghost? Is anybody thankful to be full of the Holy Ghost? It says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. Whenever it says he returned from Jordan, that meant he had just returned from being baptized. Is anybody thankful that they're baptized tonight? You've got the name of Jesus applied to your life. It says Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus just been baptized. It says, and he was led by the Spirit. Does anybody want to be led by the Spirit? Let's see. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. We're full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was baptized. We're baptized. If you've never received the Holy Ghost tonight, Jesus received the Holy Ghost, and he wants you to receive the Holy Ghost. If you've never been baptized tonight, Jesus was baptized, and he wants you to be baptized tonight. And if you've never lived a Spirit-led life, Jesus was led by the Spirit. That means you get to be led by the Spirit. And it says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into prosperity, good times, unicorns, rainbows, and butterflies. Actually, it says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit led the Israelites into a wilderness. The Spirit led Jesus into a wilderness. Why is it do we think that because we're full of the Holy Ghost and we're trying to live a Spirit-led life that the Spirit will not sometimes lead us into dry places? Sometimes the reason you're in a dry place is because the Spirit of God has led you there. And that's okay. The reason why he leads us into dry places is so that we can learn some things in those dry places, so we can receive some things from him in those dry places. I thought that now that I've got the Holy Ghost, it's supposed to be easier. I've been baptized. It's supposed to be easier. I'm leading now. What is going on? We're not always going to understand why things happen in our lives. We're not always going to understand why the Spirit is leading us into some situations in our lives. But it is not our job to understand. It is our job to learn how to trust him. True faith is trusting Jesus when nothing makes sense. Because it's in those vulnerable moments where he can truly lead you. And sometimes we don't cry out to him with our whole heart until we get to a point where we say, I need you, Jesus. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit is our helper. How can it help us if we don't feel like we need any help? Since the Lord is directing our steps, don't try to figure it out. Just trust him. There was a season in our lives in New York where there was a song that it was like I put a handle to and I held on to it. And the song went like this. I don't know if it's a Southern gospel song. I don't know. But it said, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been many times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. That's why I can say that through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. So I thank him for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word could do. That's why I sing through it all, I've just learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I believe that there is a revival of trust. God wants to give revival to our churches.
God wants to give revival to us individually. But I think the number one thing that needs to be restored is trust. And we need to learn how to trust Jesus again. Not just trust our abilities, not trust our actions, but just simply trust Him again. If we can learn how to simply trust Jesus again, whenever we can say, I know that things are hard and I know that things are not fair and I know that life hasn't treated me fairly, but yet there's still something inside of my heart that says, Jesus, I trust you through it all. That's whenever we begin to truly live this Spirit-led life. And Luke 4 and 14 tells us that Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, but he returned from it. He left the wilderness empowered by the Spirit. I believe that what God is telling us this evening is what he told to the Israelites. You may be led by the Spirit into some hard places, but once you're on the other side, you're going to be empowered by those experiences, because it's those experiences that give you your story. It's those experiences that whenever you come out on the other side of them and others can look at you and say, how did you get through that? I've got something on the inside of me that's keeping me and guiding me. If you can just keep moving forward after every disappointment, after every breakdown, after every hardship, if you can keep putting one foot in front of the other, I believe that there will be greater joy, greater opportunity, greater health, greater relationship, greater abundance than we've ever experienced. But you just have to keep moving forward. I know the wilderness is right now, but if you can find your way to the door and you can look to the sky, your help is on the way. Follow the cloud. Whenever my family and I moved to New York, we had literally spent every dollar to our name getting there. And so I guess you could say that we weren't just broke, but we were both broke and poor. We didn't know how we were going to survive some days, much less plant a church. My wife is my balance. She's got to like reel me back in every once in a while. So my mind can go ADD a little bit. I don't know if anybody else in here has a little ADD issue. To the point where one night, when my wife told me that I wasn't allowed to tell this story because she said it's not completely accurate, but she's not here to defend herself, so I'm going to tell the story anyways. Well, one night we were talking. We had just moved there. We didn't know anybody in New York. Nobody knew where we lived. And I just looked at her and said, you know, if this place burns down right now, nobody would ever know. And no, like, it would probably be days or weeks before anybody found us. And she looked at me and just went, stop it. She says she didn't say it like that, but that's exactly how she said it, because that's how I heard it. But we woke up every day, and I prayed a prayer. And it was simply, Lord, lead my steps. Show me the person. Give me the words to say. Lord, guide my steps. Show me the person, give me the words to say. And so there was this family that found us on Google, gave our church a chance. I'll tell you something, whenever you're a church planter and somebody gives you a chance, it's like, they came because we had pictures of our kids on our website. You know, you whenever you got three kids, it looks like you've got like this awesome kids ministry thing going on. But she was a pretty high executive in Macy's, and through a crazy course of events, I got an opportunity to be in the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade. And yeah, that's me right there holding the microphone with the hat on. I'm just kidding. I'm the guy in the yellow butter suit. Which led to an appearance on the Today Show, local TV, local radio, local newspaper. And it was this awesome, one person, one family decided to give a church planter a chance. And you know, I began to think, people move to New York all the time to be seen. There's Broadway and Wall Street and United Nations. So how does a broke church planter break through all the noise of a crazy city where people spend millions and millions of dollars on marketing and advertisement to be seen? And one night while I was praying, the Lord dropped a single scripture in my spirit. One part of a single scripture. And he reminded me of how all of this transpires. And Zechariah 4 and 6 is the verse that I've held on to. And it's simply this. It's not by might nor by power, but it is by my spirit. If we're going to have revival, it's going to be by his spirit. If we're going to make a difference in our world, it's going to be by his spirit. If we're going to change culture, it's going to be by his spirit. Not by what we've done, not by what we've said, but because he decided to move and he had the body in place. You see, whenever his body is positioned where it's supposed to be, his spirit can move and make a difference in our world. Him. Why not let it be you? Why not let it be you? You can only make a difference for the kingdom if you have positioned yourself to make a difference for the kingdom. So a while back, I'm sitting in my office, phone rang. Pick it up. Hello? And they say, can we speak to Pastor Donnie, please? It's like, this is him. And they said, well, I'm so-and-so with CNN. Can you check your email? It's like, absolutely. So I checked my email and the lady began to tell me, said former Vice President Mike Pence is coming into town to do a town hall. And we need a pastor to represent the Christian faith to ask questions about faith and family. Would you be available to represent the Christian community of New York City? Let me check my calendar. I'll get my people to get with your people. Absolutely, I will definitely be there. When do I need to be there? Tomorrow night, perfect. What questions you want me to ask? I said, your call, you just submit the questions to us. So I submitted the questions to them. It was a really cool process, actually. I go and I sit in the room, and the lady with CNN, she comes. She's like, is this your question? I was like, yes, ma'am. Have we edited your question? No, ma'am. Can you please sign this document stating that we have not edited your question in any way? Yes, ma'am. Now, will you please sign this document? And I had to sign like four waivers to prove that CNN did not ever edit my question. They were like pretty strict about that. But so this was me on CNN with Mike Pence, which was really, really cool. I was excited because I live in a pro CNN area, so I figured that all the neighbors around my church would be watching. And here's the awesome part. Oh, within 2 minutes, we had over 100 hits on our church's website from people in that area. That means that those people know that we now exist. And it was that's like gold to a church planner. Somebody asked me, what's your connection? To this day, I have no idea. All I know is I spent time with Jesus that morning and I prayed a prayer and I said, Lord, open the doors that no man can shut. Shut doors that no man can open. I want you to do the work. You put the people in my life that I need today in order to advance your kingdom forward. That way you get the glory. That's it. That's all I know. That's in the past 7 years, that's all I know. And if there's anything that I could deposit into your spirit tonight to increase your faith, it would simply be if you could somehow incorporate into your prayer life, God, would you please just guide my steps today? And I will open my eyes to see things like you see them. Let me see people like you see people. Let me hear the cries of people like you hear it, God. Let me be able to be one with you. There's no telling what we can do in our lives. But it takes a step toward the door. To leave a comfort zone and do something we've never done before. just take a step toward the door. I'm coming to a close. If we have musicians come, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond tonight in an altar call in a second. In 2 Kings chapter 7, the Syrian army surrounded the city of Samaria, and they cut off the Israelites' food supply. The people were desperate. It looked like it was the end. There was a famine, a great recession. The prophet Elisha shows up and begins to prophesy and to speak to the Israelites and said, by this time tomorrow, there will be so much bread that you could buy it for a penny. That's like telling New Yorkers that Alabama really does have gas under $3. No. That stuff doesn't happen. I have seen it with my eyes. I'm not going to lie. I drove in. I was like, is this heaven? It's like, no, it's Alabama. But it's close. You have cheap gas. Praise God. You have no idea what the little things that just make me happy. That's one of them. Yeah, pay $6, $4, $5, I think it got up to $6 at the end of last year. And I was like, I took a picture of it and sent it to my wife and said, I will run out of gas on the side of the road, but I am protesting this. I will not buy it. She said, get the gas, Donnie. But one of the leaders said, Elisha, even if God opened the windows of heaven, that wouldn't happen. And this was the prophet's response. He said, you will see it with your eyes, but you're not going to partake of it. And here's what I've learned. Faith gets everything. Doubt gets to see it, but gets nothing. And every day, you and I get to wake up as a member of the body of Christ and as the kingdom of God, and we get to ask ourselves the question, will I be faith-filled today or will I be doubt-filled today? And I get to choose. You get to choose. Faith gets everything. Miracles follow faith, not the other way around. If you need a miracle, how are you stepping on faith? You can't be afraid of it. You've got to trust God. God is not going to give a miracle until there is a step. And there were four leprous men that were sitting there. And they said to one another, why sit we here till we die? You know, if we sit here, we're going to die. And if we get up and go into the enemy's camp, we're going to die. We sit here, we die, we get up and move around, we die. We're just a bunch of dead men. And so one of them had the great idea, said, let's arise and let's just go and let's just see. And as they began to move forward toward the enemy's camp, God began to amplify their steps to the fact whenever the enemy heard it, thought it was a great army. And they began to run in fear. And these four leprous men who took a step of faith got into the enemy's camp, saw all of the abundance, the food, the gold, the silver, everything. They went back and said, just like the prophet said, it is so. They started walking and God started moving, but God did not accelerate anything until there was action. Miracles can happen sooner than you think, but it only requires an arise and a take a step of faith, and let's just see what can happen. Well, it's impossible, is it? I am from South Louisiana and I speak poquito Espanol. Okay, I'm not fluent in Spanish. I'm trying. Me and Duolingo on my phone are good friends, but I'm still not getting it. But I don't know if you've watched the news recently, but there's been an influx of a population shift in New York City. of the Hispanic community. And the way I view that is a great opportunity for the kingdom of God. Perception is everything. And I see people who are hungry, not just for food, but people who are hungry for friendship, people who are hungry for relationship, people who are hungry for belonging. And last time I checked, Jesus said that whenever you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And so we're trying to provide service, and we're trying to be good to our new neighbors. Well, I had a group the other day, Pastor, there was probably about 10 of them. Hardly none of them speak English, and I don't speak Spanish. But I heard they were interested in a Bible study. So I figured out how to teach them a Bible study. I got on Pentecostal Publishing, and I ordered a bunch of Into His Marvelous Light Bible studies in Spanish, and I have my English Into His Light Marvelous Bible study, and I got a pen. I gave everybody in the room one of the Bible studies. It's a little pamphlet, and on the cover it says a one-hour Bible study. It took me 3 hours. But I circled for this one, and I said, you are going to read this. And then I circled for this one, and you're going to read this. Circle for this one, you're going to read this. And we're all going to circle, and we're just going to read. And I was like, you need to tell me whenever your time's up, because I don't know what you say. So we figured out a system, a bump system, and we're going around. 3 hours later, we finished it. Whew. I get, and I guess it worked, because by the time we're done, they were all like talking back and forth, and I just sitting there, and there was a great debate going on. It was over Jesus' name baptism, and they were and one guy, he was just like, he just kept holding the Bible, and he was basically saying, but it's there. And I was just like, yeah, wait, what he said. At this point, I am simply happy to be in the room and let them figure it out. They were so grateful, because by the end of that Bible study, we baptized 4 in the name of Jesus. I refuse to believe that anything is impossible. I refuse to walk into a city that has 700 languages and say, oh, well, there's a language barrier. No, there's not. I've just got to figure it out. Whenever I was in high school, I wanted to teach Bible studies so bad to the people that I went to school with. So I was like, well, what's their interest? Halo. All right. So I would have, I would host Halo nights at my house. I don't know if anybody knows what Halo is. I don't even know if that's still a thing. We'd have Halo nights, and I'd say, everybody bring your TV from your house, set it up in my house. We're gonna run cords all through the house. And they'd get there, and we'd run cords. I'd be like, wait, hold on. Before the first person picks up a controller, everybody go to the living room. You're at my house. I'm teaching you a Bible study. It was great bait and switch. But let me tell you, where there's a will, there is a way. Either we believe that we are members of a kingdom, or we don't. I'm thankful for how we live. But I want it to be in my actions with others. I want to point people to Jesus. I want them to know that He is awesome, and He cares about them, and He loves them, and that He has something for them. One more story. Can I tell you one more story? There's a guy in my church. He was not raised a Christian. His wife came and got the Holy Ghost, and then he started coming, and he works for the NYPD, New York Police Department, in the Bronx. And so we're doing a Bible study. At one point, I had about 10 Bible studies a week. I think 14 was my max in 1 week. I did them all on Zoom. That way, I didn't have to run all over the city. So just jump from one Zoom room to the next.
Well, this guy, we're in a Bible study, and he asked me a question, Pastor. He says, why does everybody at church get to speak in tongues except me? And I just said, you know what? Let me answer that. First of all, you are a cop. And with the job that you have, whenever you walk into a room, you automatically do not trust people. That's just the facts. So you sit in the back corner, you watch the room, you make sure that you watch the door. Whenever you do come to the front, you stand in such an angle where you can see the entire room. And he goes, wow, I didn't know anybody noticed. It's like, I noticed. It's my job to notice. And it's like, the only way for you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost is to become vulnerable to it and to yield to it. And because you always have your guard up, it is impossible for you to become vulnerable in public. But remember, these are two guys having a conversation on Zoom. But you don't have to have your guard up in your own home, which is where you're at right now. So, question. Do you want to speak in tongues? And he thinks about it. And he goes, yeah, I think I do. I said, all right. Yeah, if you want to, then you will today. But if you don't want to, then you're not. So it's like, that's just kind of how it works. He goes, all right, I do. What do I need to do? I said, well, first of all, you got to repent. He goes, all right, so I need to tell God I'm sorry. I'm like, no. You need to tell God you're going to change. And he took a really deep pause there. He's like, I thought it was just sorry. I was like, no, sorry is what you do whenever you get in trouble and you get caught. I'm not worried about you getting in trouble, getting caught. I'm worried about you changing. And so we went through some scenarios in his life that he would have to change. And he was very open with me. I said, yeah, you'd have to change that. Yeah, you know. Now, like, he's a New Yorker, so everything is blunt. Makes it kind of easy. And I said, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to change? And like, he took a long pause. And he goes, yeah, I'm willing to change. I said, congratulations, you just repented. Because repentance is whenever you make that decision that I am going to change. I said, but here's the problem with, and I said, and, you know, heaven's rejoicing over that decision, but here's the problem. You are not strong enough to keep that decision on your own. That's why you need the Spirit of God. You need the Holy Ghost inside your heart, because the scripture says that the Spirit is our helper, and the Spirit helps you keep that decision. He goes, okay, I'm tracking, I'm following. And so what we're about to do is we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. And so we stopped and we did. And then I said, here's another prayer that we're going to pray. We're going to pray a prayer of permission. I never asked anybody to pray this, but I said, I want you to pray, Jesus, I am giving myself permission to receive your Spirit, and I'm giving myself permission to speak in tongues, because you need to know that you're okay with this. And so he said, okay. So he, right there on Zoom, he raised his hands. He repented. He told God he was going to change. And then he gave himself permission to receive the Holy Ghost. And in his room, in his home, he received the Holy Ghost for the first time. And for the next 10 to 15 minutes, he began to speak in tongues for the first time in his life. It wasn't a big emotional moment. It was simply a man who made a decision to live for God. Can I encourage you tonight? Just make a decision. Just make the decision. I am going to live for God, and I am going to let Him help me, because I'm not strong enough within my own self to do it. So I'm going to follow the cloud. I'm going to follow His Spirit, and I'm going to let Him help me every single day. Get in agreement with God. believe something good is on the way. Through it all, you're going to be okay. And trust him. Trust him. I wonder if you would stand all over this place. Your circumstances say you don't have enough, you're not good enough, whatever. But God believes in you. And God believes you're going to make a difference in the world, and you're going to make a positive impact at your school and your on your job. You're going to change the world. You're going to change the world. What I would like to do this evening, and this is what I do in New York on Sundays, I'd like to pray a prayer of blessing over you. I would like to bless you with a prayer. And then whenever I say everything in this service, from the music to the singing to the preaching to this, everything has led to a point where I wanted you to have an opportunity to talk to Jesus about whatever you needed to talk to Jesus about. Because here's what I've learned. Your job is not going to create this opportunity for you. School is not going to create an opportunity for you. The church creates opportunities for you to be able to talk to Jesus about whatever you need to talk to him about. So I'm going to pray for you. And then whenever I say amen, I would like to invite everyone to simply take a step of faith toward the front, to lift your hands and have that conversation that you've been needing to have with Jesus. Lift your hands all over this room in the name of Jesus. I pray a blessing over your people in this church. God, I pray that you will bless them and keep them. May your face shine upon them. Be gracious unto them. Turn your face toward them and give them peace. God, I pray a covering over them. I pray that you would cover them with your spirit, cover them with your blood, cover them with a shield of faith, and cover them with your word. God, every single day I ask that you will open doors that nobody else can, shut doors that nobody else can. Lead their steps. Allow them to walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, I pray for their hands, that they will be put to the plow of your kingdom to make a difference and an impact in the world. I pray for their minds, that they would have the mind of Christ. I pray for their hearts, that they would love others the way that you love them. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And give their mouths words of life and of hope and of peace to others. God, I pray this blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, amen and amen. Now, church, I wonder if you would step out of your aisles, come to the front, and have a conversation with your Creator. Have a conversation with Jesus. Ask him, how can I change my world? Ask him, what can I do?